Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning. Happy Monday to all of you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm Kim Sainange, filling in for Mark, who's going to be off for a couple weeks now. He's in Italy enjoying a really nice vacation, hopefully eating lots of delicious pasta. So in the meantime, Scott Jagow is here for part of the time helping me fill in.
Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Of course, Carl Middleman. And then Hi. Sue Thomas, I think, is going to be busy today because we know that even if like three drops of rain fall, there unfortunately will be crashes. It was crazy. I was waking up to the thunder last night.
Oh man, it was wild. I love storms, but man, when it gets that loud and the lightning seems like it's that close, it's scary.
I know. And I was looking this morning at this crazy damage that they've had across the country. The latest numbers I've seen were 4 dead in Oklahoma. I think 1 person died in Iowa. But man, I mean, all over parts of Iowa, Nebraska. Seems like those were the hardest hit from these tornadoes. Homes leveled.
Did you see the video of the Nebraska one?
I think I know what you're talking about. The person right by the funnel?
Yeah. I mean, that looked like something CG'd in a movie.
I know. Out of Twister.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, and that's the other thing. The cars that were cars going by him into the tornado. Like, what are you doing?
I cannot imagine being one of those storm chasers. I get the appeal. In fact, when I was a TV reporter, of course, they want you to go cover the tornado aftermath. But I remember vividly being told there was a tornado on the ground in rural Iowa. And I was a reporter in Des Moines at the time. And they were basically like, head for the tornado. And we're driving on the interstate. It was like black. I mean, this was the middle of the afternoon. The sky, there was just this really creepy, eerie feeling, pouring rain. And I was like saying my last prayers, like, Lord, is this it for me?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've never been in that situation. But I understand the thrill of it, though. The adrenaline rush, the whole idea of being a part of that Mother Nature phenomenon. I understand that.
Yeah.
I just, you know, sometimes they might take it a little too far.
Yep, get a little bit too close.
A little bit too close, I think. Because you got to respect Mother Nature. In addition to, in all of it, you also have to respect it. And that's that fine line I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was crazy. I thought that driving in this morning, I was listening to Fox News, and I thought I heard like 100 tornadoes in, was it 6 states or something like that? I mean, it's wild. But this is the season for it, right?
It is tornado season.
Yes.
Yeah.
April through.
This seems like it's a worse one than normal, but that's just anecdotal, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Well, we've got a great show ahead for us. We've got, of course, those protests we have to talk about that happened across the country and including Washington University over the weekend. We have Hans von Spakovsky coming up at 6:20 this morning from the Heritage Foundation talking about what's going on with the Supreme Court. They were discussing and hearing opening arguments about this immunity case with Trump. And there's just some interesting comments that Lindsey Graham had. I want to talk about that with Hans von Spakovsky. We have a check of business for you. And then I really want to discuss this topic with Brian Westbrook. He is the executive director and founder of Coalition Life, because that deadline for people to collect the signatures for abortion to try to get it on the ballot, that's coming up on May 5th. So this is the home stretch of people trying to get these signatures. And I asked him to be on the show this morning because I wanted to pick his brain, basically, about when you're trying to have a conversation with someone who is so pro-abortion, what's the best approach to take? Because those of us who believe life begins at conception, it's easy when our emotions are in the mix of it to get frustrated or to say things that can be intense, and then it doesn't really do any good. In fact, it can do the opposite. So I think he's going to have some really interesting insight. If, say, you talk to somebody who approaches you this week about that initiative petition trying to get you to sign that. So, again, Brian Westbrook coming up at 7:35. But right now, Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Do you think that Hamas should release the U.S. and Israeli hostages?
To be honest, I think that's like a little bit of a, I'm not sure I agree with the framing of that question.
What? Did you just hear that? That was a student, I presume, with Washington University over the weekend protesting in support of Hamas, saying, you know, yeah, I don't know if they really should be expected to release the hostages.
Look, there are some great things about DEI, but it's not all roses. And I think we need to take a look at it, and we need to sort of do some rejiggering because it's gone too far. It's become a religion.
Whoa, do you recognize that voice? That's Don Lemon. Even he's saying, you know, I think this diversity, equity, and inclusion crap has gone too far.
The president clearly needs some kind of immunity, or he'd be in court all the time.
That's Mitch McConnell talking to NBC's Kristen Welker. Doesn't think that Trump or any presidents for that matter should be immune.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
There he is, Joe Biden, doing a surprise interview with Howard Stern, saying, yeah, I plan to debate Trump. I always plan to debate Trump. I just didn't know where we would do it or when we would do it. This was weird because everyone was caught off guard, it seems, by this interview. It's like a 74-minute interview or something of that sort with Joe Biden talking about all sorts of things. But that was where he says, oh, yeah, I'll go ahead and debate Trump. Trump responded to that. So Trump was in court, of course, all last week in New York. And reporters caught up with him after he was leaving and asked him about that whole scenario with Joe Biden. Listen to what Trump had to say in response to that. Listen to clip number 9.
I just want to say that I've invited Biden to debate. He can do it anytime he wants, including tonight. I'm ready. Here we are. I invited him to the courthouse that he has us tied up in, his administration. This is all being done through Washington. It's all a well-coordinated attack on a political opponent. But I'm here. I'm ready, willing, and able. And if he wants, I'll do it on Monday night, Tuesday night, or Wednesday night.
He's like, yeah, anytime. Give me a time and a place and I'll be there. But on Truth Social, Trump posts, he's like, yeah, Biden doesn't really mean that. I mean, do you really think that Biden would be willing to face off against Trump in a debate?
Man, that's a hard one to imagine, to be honest.
I think Biden's saying that because he knows that people want to feel like he's willing to debate.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe they would even go as far as to be like, all right, here's the day and the time we're going to schedule this. And then all of a sudden they're going to be like, you know what? The president is ill. He has bird flu and it's a pandemic and he can't leave the White House.
Yeah.
He can't even leave his room, folks. Sorry. No debate.
Right. Well, that's on Biden's part, not a bad strategy. I mean, because he could pull that and everybody like, oh, well, but
that bird
on the
flu,
other hand,
I tell you.
Yeah. But on the other hand, the fact that he's older and maybe susceptible to things like this would be a red flag to some people.
That's true, because then they could be like, well, clearly his health is failing.
It would flip back on him if he did that.
I was a little surprised. I have to wonder what his campaign thought when they're sitting there listening to him say, yeah, I'm going to debate. Like, I wonder if that was planned or he kind of said that off the cuff, because we know that Biden will say things that are off the teleprompter. And typically when he strays even like a word off the teleprompter, I can only imagine the people listening, again, for his campaign are like, what are you doing? That is not what you were supposed to say.
Yeah.
He makes up lies, tells things that never. He said his uncle was likely eaten by cannibals.
Right.
That's not true, guys. If anyone isn't aware of that, Joe Biden's uncle was not eaten by a cannibal. Just, oh, my gosh. I am really hoping that they debate. I am not confident at all. Something is going to come up, some random pandemic or whatever, where all of a sudden he's not going to be able to debate. All right, we have to get to a quick break, but Carl Middleman, who is singing our anthem today?
So Mark's not here, so that gives us a little more breath.
Oh, okay. Are we doing like a rap version of the anthem or something?
Pitbull went on sale on Friday. Pitbull, but who's opening for Pitbull? T-Pain.
No, is this really T-Pain singing?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
At the 2015 Major League Baseball opener for I don't know who, but still, it's
actually,
T-Pain.
He's a good singer. I forgot about
that. He
won the
very first Masked Singer.
Because he wanted to probably prove that he didn't just
have to
have auto-tune.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem.
The Mark Cox Morning Show, on the air and streaming at 971talk.com.
There tends to be a different type of police response, a less extreme police response. And so we want to make sure that we're here today to be eyes and ears on the ground to make sure that the rights of our students are protected.
Do you think that Hamas should release the U.S. and Israeli hostages?
I think that's like a little bit of a, I'm not sure I agree with the framing of that question.
We want peace and liberation for everybody. And what's happening in Gaza right now is not helping any Palestinians, nor is it helping the hostages.
So that was part of Channel 4's story from the protest, the pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza, pro-Hamas, whatever you want to call it, demonstration that happened on Saturday. Hundreds and hundreds of students and faculty members were marching there, setting up camps. And the first voice you heard, you may have recognized, and that's because it was the Board of Aldermen president, Megan Green. My understanding is she was among about 100 or so people who was arrested.
No, she was not arrested.
Okay, so I initially saw she was arrested. Now it's saying no.
I actually talked to her yesterday.
Oh, okay.
She was describing what was going on there. She, you know, she says that the protest was peaceful until the police came in and started poking around, and that's when it kind of got, I mean, violence, a little strong of a word, but it was contentious at least. And then, she was not arrested. That Jill Stein, the candidate for president for
the Green Party candidate,
was arrested.
With her, like, campaign manager and someone else.
Yeah, and it's another staffer.
Jill Stein's been in the news.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
She says she was invited to that protest. You are cordially invited to Washington University's pro-Palestine demonstration.
If you want to see something good, follow Jane Duker on X. And Jane and Megan Green have been going at it for the last 2 days.
Good. Why? I mean, I'm not surprised Megan Green was there, but I mean, come on. You just heard the kid there who's like, I don't really know if they should have to release the hostages.
I think that says something right there. I don't really know. That's the key point. A lot of this is fueled for these young people by social media, by TikTok, and just constant videos. And then once those videos, you click on them, then that's all you get is videos about what's going on in Gaza and misinformation in a lot of cases. So I don't think it's surprising that the young person said, I don't really know, because I don't think they really know.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that viral clip from last week where it was two girls? I want to say it was either they were from Columbia and went to NYU or something like that. And the reporter asks why they're there. And they're like, why are we protesting again? And the girl's like, I wish I was more educated.
Exactly.
That defines, to your point,
that's what's going on. There's just a lot of people who want to protest to protest. And they could be angry about something else. And maybe some of that is valid. There's a lot to complain about in the world. So I'm curious if that's what's fueling some of this.
Mm-hmm. I just think a lot of people are searching for purpose in their life and they've latched on to this. I think this is BLM 2.0. I think a lot of the same people that you saw out marching back in 2020, 2021 are the same people who are now marching at all these campuses across the country. When you look at the breakdown of the people arrested at WashU, some of them were faculty members, and I think I saw it was like 23 of them were current WashU students, which, by the way, a student group is claiming that they've been suspended, supposedly. There's a lot of information going around.
Yeah.
But they've all apparently been released from jail. They were released within like hours after they were arrested. But what does that tell you? It tells you that a lot of these people are just there coming from other places across the country. Nothing to do with WashU, but again, they're just there because they want to support the cause. They saw it on social media, and they're like, "Yeah, let's just cause a ruckus."
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Hats off to St. Louis PD. I feel sad to hear that three of them were injured. I saw it was a severe concussion, a broken finger, and I feel barely bad for the officer who apparently had a groin injury.
Yeah, I saw that.
My favorite clip from this weekend, because there were protests, I mean, so many different campuses. But my favorite one, and you should look at this on social media, and maybe I can post it. It was Emory University in Georgia, and this protester's refusing to leave. The officer straight up picks up this grown man like a baby, like cradling him and carries him off the grassy area. And he's like, "You're hurting me! You're hurting me!"
The funniest thing I saw was that Jill Stein's ex post said, the campaign said, she was brutalized by a bicycle.
What does that even mean?
But the video was showing and that she was not in any way being brutalized by a bicycle.
But what does that even mean?
I don't know.
The bike attacked me.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be back with Scott on the spot. Don't go anywhere.
Kim on a whim. Scott on the spot.
All right, I'm on the spot.
You like that?
I do like that.
Scott on the spot. I wish I had that voice.
Scott on the spot.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, did you hear that the red light cameras are coming back to St. Louis?
Oh, yeah.
The mayor signed the bill announced over the weekend that she signed the bill, and at some point here in the near future, they will be installing red light cameras. They got rid of them because it was struck down by a court originally, and now they're back, and the aldermen believe that the bills that they've passed should be protected and will pass muster with the courts. So we'll see about that. I don't know.
So what are the differences in this go-around that they think are going to protect them from it being struck down again?
To be honest, I don't know exactly. I think there's some of them are technicalities, things like
wording or something maybe?
Right. I don't know that they're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to talk about is I am not opposed to cameras in cities, in places. I do not like the red light cameras, though. The reason being that a lot of law-abiding citizens get caught up with tickets in these situations. There's also the issue of who's driving the car. And, you know, just last week, for example, 84 cars were stolen in the city of St. Louis. 84 in 1 week. That's 12 a day.
That's downtown?
Just in the city limits.
Wow.
I mean, the city police are giving a crime report now. And that's what they said, 84 cars stolen. And a lot of those people that are driving through the red lights, I'd say a majority of them don't have a license, don't have insurance, or driving a stolen car, someone else's car, but the owner's going to get the ticket, and then you have to sort that all out. So I just find it to be, I don't know that it's going to solve or relieve the problem of traffic violence. Megan Green, the president of the Aldermen, says, "There is strong data that red light camera, let me just quote here. Automated traffic enforcement systems, if paired with appropriate oversight," there's one question, "can reduce traffic-related deaths and injuries in cities and municipalities." Couple of questions there. Oversight, will there be enough oversight? And two is, cities and municipalities is a generality. St. Louis could be an exception, in my opinion, because I lived other places, and I've honestly never seen drivers as bad as what St. Louis has.
I believe that.
And so I'm wondering if it's an anomaly that, you know, the red light cameras aren't going to do much. Because again, back to the idea of lack of driver education in the state of Missouri, plus the insurance and then licenses, people don't have them. They don't update their tags.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's not being enforced.
Yeah.
So it really bugs me. And I drive into work early in the morning. And this is the other thing. I drive in early and there's no traffic. But this city does not, as far as I know, have any intersections where they have sensors in the road to determine if there's a car at one part of the intersection or the other.
I know
a lot of cities do have that.
That I think does it. I think it's when you're turning off 64 and getting off of 14th Street, kind of by the Enterprise Center, that might be the only light I've come across downtown where it seems to be motion sensor.
And the lights aren't timed either.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're not timed to the level of traffic. So you sit there for minutes. I mean, I was talking to some guy I'd met recently who came here from Seattle, and he was just dumbfounded at the fact that there weren't sensors, and two, that the light, he said, I can't believe how long I have to spend at lights in this city. Mm-hmm. And so, again, law-abiding citizens like myself coming into work early, you know, I have to sit at those lights a long time, and I don't think it's necessary.
And I think we have the most stop signs per capita.
I definitely believe that in the city.
That don't do anything. They're a suggestion that most people don't take. I mean, my thing is, I don't feel safe, per se, when I'm driving downtown at 4 or whatever time it is in the morning. If I'm just sitting at a red light, my head is on a swivel watching like a hawk to see if anyone comes up next to me. And the thoughts that are going on in my head, and I don't know if this is because I'm a woman or if everybody has these thoughts, I'm like, all right, is this car pulling up next to me? Are they going to get out and carjack me? Are they going to rob me? Are they going to jump in my passenger seat? I mean, my brain is just running through all these crazy scenarios. So half the time when I'm running red lights, it's not because I'm like, forget this. I mean, I don't like to wait either, and I think that's a problem. But the other part of it is I don't feel safe. So even if these are put in place, I guess they will be allegedly if they don't have more roadblocks, I would argue that. I would be like, get more police on the streets because you're down about 300 police officers, and make it where people actually feel safe, where I'm not worried about my life being threatened if I'm sitting at all these stoplights that take a ridiculous amount of time to turn green.
I completely and 100% agree, and I do the same thing, and I have the same feelings of paranoia.
Okay, good. It's not just me.
No, it is definitely not just you. I have people walk up towards my car, and I'm like, this is not happening. I'm going through the light.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going through the light if there's a car coming in the other direction.
Right, you
but there
look.
Usually isn't. Of course, I look. I use my common sense. But
and
when
that's
somebody
the difference,
pulls up
Scott.
Behind,
people don't have that these days. That sets you apart.
When somebody pulls up behind or next, I have the same thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's running through my mind. Perhaps it's because last week, for the third time in less than 2 years, I had my window smashed out of my car.
Did you really?
Yep.
Where were you parked?
Near Four Hands Brewery, going to the Cardinals game. I mean, it was, and I wasn't the only one. There were a couple other cars in the same area that got smashed out. But it's the third time it's happened to me, and all they are is looking for a gun because they pull up the console. And I just have these thoughts running through my head, like, how much of this is my fault? I mean, just because I live in the city, I had a colleague who told me she had her window smashed out, and when the police arrived, which is useless, by the way. You don't need to, I mean, calling the police is no value
it's
whatsoever.
It's just for insurance purposes.
Yeah.
You get the police report.
But, what was I thinking? Oh, yeah. She said that the police officer said, well, this is the price you pay living in the city. So that's how it is.
Yeah.
You live in the city, you get your windows smashed out, you're afraid to sit at a red light.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it has to be? No. I don't think so. And so I don't like the red light camera thing.
No, I don't agree with these at all. The people they're trying to target are the people who don't care to pay the ticket. They're the same people, like you said, who don't renew their tags, who have a tag from 2015 and have no plans to do anything about it. This is not going to do anything except ticket the people like you and me who are running red lights simply because we are afraid for our lives at times. That is ridiculous, and I don't think that's right. I'm really hoping they can find some little detail that allows them to strike this down before they can try to install these cameras. I'm actually a little surprised, and by no means am I saying this is on the Cardinals or the Blues or any of our sports teams to do anything about this. This is on the city. This is on the elected leaders who are supposed to make our city better and safer, and they're, in my opinion, doing the opposite. But I'm a little surprised the Cardinals haven't pushed on this more. And maybe they have behind the scenes, but I mean, this is affecting, I would imagine, a lot of the people who want to go downtown for games. But like you, they're thinking, man, if I park my car there, it's going to get broken into.
Yeah.
Or stolen.
I got to be honest. When I walked away from my car, I had the paranoia thoughts of there is no chance that this is going to happen again, is it? And I came back to my car and there was a guy calling the police because his car got smashed into it. I said, you have got to be kidding me. There's like the guy at High Point Drive-In who posted on Facebook after he got their window smashed out. He's like, this is getting pretty exhausting, folks.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel.
I've heard people are so frustrated that they've just decided to leave their car unlocked. They just make sure there's no valuables in there, and they say they'd rather them get into their car and rifle through it instead of smashing a window. But I almost wonder if they're really taking the time to pull the handles.
I think
they're just assuming the cars are locked because they're going so fast because it's like, okay, we have 20 minutes to break into as many cars as we can. Boom, 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 boom. They have like the tools, I would imagine, that allow them to bust through a window very quickly.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think unlocking, I don't want to leave my car unlocked. Just by nature, I just don't like that.
Yeah,
idea.
I don't like that. I feel like it's.
But
an
people
invasion.
Ask me after
know.
I got my window smashed out. Well, did you leave your car unlocked? You should have left your car unlocked. No, I'm not. And I know exactly what you're saying is true. They're just smashing windows. They're not sitting there jiggling handles. They are smashing windows.
Right. I agree. It is so backwards in the city of St. Louis, and they're sending in counselors or whatever they're called to these crime scenes. But don't worry, Scott. They're only working. Business hours, Monday through Friday from like 9 to 5, you know, when all the crime happens,
exactly.
Right? Because usually there's no crime that happens overnight, you know?
Right.
Really safe. If you drive, in fact, I would say go hang out in North City. Pitch a tent. You're going to feel really safe there. They don't need any of those people there overnight.
Well, the funny thing is that the second time I got it smashed out, it was in the middle of the day, 3 p.m. So
well,
there
you know
is
what?
Some
they could have sent a counselor if you were
yeah,
upset.
I know. What?
They would have been able to send one of those people that they have hired for the St. Louis Police Department, Scott.
I needed
make
some
sure
counseling
you request
for sure.
them. I think a lot of people need some counseling, and it might be Tashara Jones would probably be the first person on my list who needs some serious counseling on ways to better lead our city. All right, Scott on the Spot. I'm a fan.
All right, thank
and
you.
And we get Scott on the Spot tomorrow and Wednesday.
Big time.
He's back.
I'm back.
When we come back, we're talking about this CNN poll. This gives Donald Trump his biggest lead ever. And when you throw in the third-party candidates, his lead gets even bigger. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Not Kim on a whim, but Scott on the Spot. Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
Well, a new CNN poll is giving Donald Trump his biggest lead yet over Joe Biden. This is interesting. So this latest poll has Trump at 49%, Biden 43%, so 6 points ahead of Biden. And that's just when they're going head to head. Now you add in the third party candidates, so RFK Jr., Dr. Jill Stein, who, by the way, was arrested over the weekend here in St. Louis. She was part of the protests there at Washington University, and Cornel West. So when they're added into the mix, Trump's lead over Biden gets even bigger, nearly double digits. I found that very interesting because the big question was, especially with RFK Jr.,
yeah.
was what kind of an impact would that have? Who's this going to hurt more? Is it going to hurt Trump or is it going to hurt Biden? And I feel like a lot of people came out initially saying, oh, yeah, this is going to hurt Trump. Clearly not. At least according to the CNN poll, these third party candidates, and I say really, it's really just RFK Jr. I mean, he's the only one with like a double digit lead.
Exactly. You know? And that leads to another question in this fictitious debate that will take place later this year. Will RFK Jr. be on the stage? Should he be?
Well, and I would imagine he'd have to hit some sort of a polling threshold, because according to this one, he's sitting at 16%. Now, that's actually not
pretty good
bad.
For an independent candidate.
I was going to say, it's not bad. To me, he's way too far left. And the fact that he has Nicole Shanahan as his running mate, I think that was probably the turning point for a lot of people who maybe consider former Trump supporters who considered voting for him. And then he picks a super liberal, progressive VP pick. And I think he lost a lot of people with that, which I would say fantastic. I mean, at what point does Biden just realize that what he's doing is not working? SNL's Colin Jost, he was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend. I don't know if you saw any clips from this, but
yeah, I did.
He actually had some really funny lines. He took jabs at Trump being in court and all this stuff, but he also took some hits against Biden. Listen to clip number four.
Like many of you here tonight, I pretend to do news on TV.
That's good.
My weekend update co-anchor Michael Che was going to join me here tonight, but in solidarity with President Biden, I decided to lose all my black support.
And it's true.
Yeah, the truth hurts.
That's what's funny about it, obviously, is because that is what the polls are showing, is that he's losing the black support, which has been key. I mean, I've heard people, political experts, say that he needs that locked in order to win back the second term. And if he's not getting what he needs to get, he should be pretty scared.
You know what? I really have always enjoyed the White House Correspondents' Dinner for these reasons. People say things that are true. They're not angry. They laugh at each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, to me, is the way politics should be more like. I love the Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
And the jokes by the host, and, you know, it's a roast.
Yeah, it's a roast.
I don't know. There's just so much division and anger these days in politics. It's kind of nice to have a little jab there, and, you know, and we're going to go right back to the division, but.
No, I know. I agree. It's kind of nice to have a little bit of a break from it. In fact, we have Todd Pyro on tomorrow from Fox News, and it looked like he was posting a picture from the White House Correspondents' Dinner with Griff Jenkins. So
oh, yeah.
I would be eager to hear from Todd what he thinks of that, because obviously I've never gone to one of those correspondence dinners. And I think it'd be really interesting because there's just so many people there who have completely opposite end of the spectrum beliefs. And he, like you said, I mean, he's hitting both sides. He definitely hit Trump. But then I also appreciated that he was hitting Biden, too. And they were joking about his age. And then Biden tried to talk about that and, you know, defend it. Because at this point, like, you almost have to joke back about it because everyone's seeing it. Every time he opens his mouth, it's very obvious that Biden is old.
Yeah.
There are some people, though, who are like 90s and are way more with it than Joe Biden, I would argue.
My grandmother is 100 and she's more with it.
Thank you. Coming up after the break, we have Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. That's at 6:20. We're going to be talking about this Supreme Court decision with immunity, Trump's New York trial that starts back up on Tuesday. I have a lot of questions for him about how that's going to shake out again. That is 6:20. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.